Killer. It's that time of need, yo.
Welcome
to a lava.
I'm back.
Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration in September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September? All the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all. A celebration, and it's September, y'all. A celebration.
Well, September's here, and it's the end of the summer, back to school.
Hello, and welcome to the show. This is season two of Ray and Tay Today, episode one. We started exactly a year ago doing our NFL preview show, and we're back. So, welcome to the show. It's Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, very hyped up, excited for the NFL preview show. And like Tay said, you know, we're starting fresh again, you know. September's that time. So you want to join the ride, join the adventure, give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, get your predictions, your Super Bowl picks. You can, shoot us out a Gmail, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, or check out the website where, you know, you'll see our picks, our thoughts, hear this show, and that's at rayandtaytoday.com. Like always, tweet at us, hit us up on Facebook, that's Ray and Tay Today, and we love being interactive with you and talking NFL, college football, just everything, U.S. Open. We're ready, we're willing, and we're able. So, Ray, let them know how the show is going down.
Well, we got a great show for you today, and it's all about football. So
yes,
we'll get into our quick breaking news. We'll talk a little bit about tennis, the U.S. Open, what's happening on the men's side, on the women's side. We'll quickly go through Major League Baseball, and then the rest of the time we'll spend on the NFL. So we'll give you our predictions for the regular season. We'll give you our predictions for the postseason. We'll give you our awards. So we're looking at offense and defense, MVP. We'll give you basically our coach of the year, our
rookie,
all the rookie of the year, comeback player of the year, all of the predictions you might need to agree, disagree. Just engage with us. Let us know what you think. You love it, you hate it, let us know.
Definitely. Well, listen, let's start off ladies first. Serena against Na in the semis. I'm sort of excited. What do you think is going to happen with the other two quarterfinals, and will we see sort of as a ranker? Do you think she'll make it to the semis? What do you think is going to go on?
Yeah, it looks to me like I don't want to beat the chalk guy, but
right. It's
hard not to be. So on the women's side, you're looking at Serena Williams and Li Na in one bracket. And then
Panetta pulled
you've
upset.
Got Panetta,
yeah.
Panetta beat Vinci.
Yeah,
and then
Vinci.
You've got Azarenka against Hantuchova. So I think Azarenka wins that. Azarenka beats Panetta. Williams beat Na. And then you've got a 1-2 with Serena against Victoria Azarenka. And I got to go with Serena. I mean, I don't see a reason. I don't see how you can't.
Nah, we both predicted that, and I think that's what's going to go down. Serena is just, she's the GOAT. She's the greatest, man, greatest female player of all time. I think Navratilova, Chris Everett, Billie Jean King, you know, I think Steffi Graf, they all got to bow down.
With the appetizers. Martina's unbelievable, too, because of her endurance and the fact that she did so much both as a singles player, but also in doubles and mixed doubles, and she did this over 20-something years. But, yeah, I mean, Serena's on pace to just you know, be the best woman ever. That there's, she's unbelievable.
And then the
she's
men.
On.
Yeah. No, you're right. She's on. That's it.
And then on the men's side, so we've got Djokovic. Everybody's holding serve, basically. We've got that we thought, anyway. So 1, 2, 3, and 4 are still alive. So we've got Djokovic against Usny, Murray against Wawrinka, Gasquet, who had a 5-setter that was really, I don't know if you saw any of that, but that was great. So that's the best matchup, though. You got 4 and 8. Gasquet and Ferrer.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom of that bracket, you got Tommy Robredo, who beat our boy Roger Federer in straight sets against Rafael Nadal. And this was supposed to be Federer and Nadal. And we talked about this off air. They've never met in a U.S. Open.
Kind of amazing.
Pretty amazing that the draws have just never worked out for him. And Roger, a five-time champion, didn't even make it to the round, to the quarterfinals.
Well, the question is he done? I mean, he's sort of been struggling this season overall. No majors, not even making it to the final. Look, I went with Nadal. You picked Djokovic, so we'll see what happens. But I think Federer, we might be saying goodbye to one of the greatest ever, right?
We might be, but I think he still has one or two left in him because I've heard some commentary that his physical skills have not diminished. It's that his mental focus isn't there. So to me, that's actually good news because if you're physically unable to contend with the Ferrers and the Nadals and the Djokovic's and the Andy Murray's of the world, that's one thing. But if you just need to focus for 2 weeks, for a fortnight, as they say, I think you can do that. So you can get motivated for one more U.S. Open or one more Wimbledon or one more Australian. You know, French, I don't think he'll ever win again. But you can definitely do that for one more or two more. So I actually think Federer may have one or two left in him.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's slide on over safe in the second base with the pennant races going on in Major League Baseball. And like we spoke about 3 to 5 weeks ago with A-Rod and would the Yankees get sparked with that big win and beating the Red Sox 2 out of 3, the Yankees are 2.5 out behind the Rays for the wild card. I think it's kind of amazing.
It is. I don't know that the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, but they're sure as heck giving it the best effort, right? I think there's so many teams in that AL East,
plus the Indians are tough.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying in the AL East, it's the Yankees, Baltimore, and Tampa all chasing Boston. Let's say none of them get there, but you've got those three teams, plus you've got the Indians, plus you definitely have the loser of Texas, Oakland, taking up probably one of those two wild card spots. So you're really looking at four teams going for one spot. Woo, that's a little tight.
Yeah.
That's not even including Kansas City. So if you put Kansas City with an outside chance at it, so then you're talking about five teams for one spot. So Yankees
they just got to play clutch ball. They got to do it, you know. They got Jeter playing again. Who knows, right? I mean, maybe these guys go on a run because everybody's, you know, not everyone, right? But most everybody's back healthy, and it's given them a boost, and it's a big help, you know. So put it like this. If nothing else, it's going to be exciting for the stretch run, at least in New York for Yankee fans and Yankee fans worldwide, that they're going to be fighting. So with Mo's last season, at least, you know, there's some juice with it. You know, that's what I'm excited about, that there's a little bit of flavor for him going out as, you know, probably one of the best pitchers or players ever.
I
know, but you
know,
he's not. That's it. And then, look, let's talk about the National League. Congrats to the Pirates, 81-57. They are going to be, you know, a winning season. They're in first place. I got to tell you, I'm really ecstatic that two games up on the Cardinals. Cardinals and Reds keep bumping around and, you know, into each other. Reds are 3.5 back. You know, those will probably be the, you know, the wild cards that the Pirates can hold on. You've got to be excited, especially someone like you who, you know, saw the Pirates, you know, over 20 years ago.
I saw them in 92. I had tickets to the World Series. I held them in my hand and Sid Breen got me. Oh, my goodness. I had World Series tickets in my hand. Oh, my goodness. That was just crazy. But, yeah, good shout-out to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And shout-out for them actually making some moves, right? They picked up Marlon Byrd. They picked up Bug. They picked up Morneau. So the team that usually
sat on its
hands for the last 3 years. Yeah, he's an MVP. People forget he won the MVP 3 years ago. I mean, this guy
is. And Byrd's having a solid season.
Yeah,
you know, the Pirates, they'll generate some runs now. You know, with Russell Martin as being a clutch hitter – McCutchen. They're gonna be able to score on teams, and they have that bullpen. You got the Pirates. Listen, the Pirates and Dodgers could be, you know, I mean, it's just going to be about the matchups in NL, right? Pirates, Dodgers, Braves, it's going to be like, well, who's playing who? So it's going to be exciting. But you know what's more exciting?
What's more exciting?
You know what's more exciting?
Let us know.
NFL is back, baby. And we have waited so – I don't even know the days. It feels like 365, but it surely wasn't, right? February, whatever, it was the Super Bowl the 5th or something.
36, I think, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a long – as my four-year-old would say, it's taking a long time. It's been forever. I'm hyped up. I'm excited. So you know what, Ray? Let's do it. Let's talk NFL. You know, last night was the end of Hard Knocks, you know, for people who watched that. That was exciting. You know, you get the start of the season. You know, the Bengals, they give Geno Atkins a new contract. He's making, you know, $55 million, and he's, you know, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. You got Brian Cushion for the Texans. You know, both of these teams will compete, getting a new contract. A linebacker coming off the ACL, which is always a big thing. You know, but his first year coming off the ACL, and he hasn't proven anything yet, and they give him an extension, so that's big. Geno Smith is starting for the Jets, maybe by default, but you know, I say all that to say, let's make some Ray and Tay today official predictions and picks for the 2013 NFL season.
You know, let's do it. Let's jump right in.
All right, well, let's start in AFC. Ray will go first. We'll go by conference of the AFC, then NFC, and we'll do each division. So, Ray, the AFC East, the floor is yours.
Okay, so AFC East, you have to think that the Patriots are going to win the division. The only question is, how many games are they going to win? So, in a year where Brady has all of his toys, if he were to have Gronkowski, and if he had Hernandez, and if he had Wes Welker and all these guys, you'd say, all right, they'll win 12, 13 games easily. I think they're going to have some trouble, especially in the beginning of the season, out of the gate with Tompkins and the rookie receiving corps and the tight end. So I think they win the division, but I think they only win 10 games, which will hurt them in the playoffs because they'll end up having to go on the road. But I believe that the Patriots win 10 games, win the division. I think the Dolphins are right behind them, breathing down their necks, end up finishing 8-8, but Dolphins looking improved. I think Mike Wallace is a nice pickup. I hope that Deion Jordan can do some things on defense for them. Tannehill comes into his own as a second-year quarterback. I think that the loss of Dustin Keller hurts them, though. That keeps them from being an elite team, keeps them from being a playoff team. But the Dolphins come in at 8-8, and then after that, you got the Bills and the Jets, and they're both starting rookie quarterbacks, E.J. Manuel in Buffalo and Geno Smith in New York. For now, at least, you know, Cobb and Sanchez might come back and take those jobs if the two rookies falter. I don't see much to be excited about as a Jet fan. I think they bring up the bottom of that division at 4-12, and I think Buffalo sits somewhere between the Dolphins and the Jets, and I have them at 6-10.
Okay. Well, what's funny is that we, you know, did our picks totally separately, and we had the same for the AFC East, just two games off. So, like Ray, I would say it's Bill Belichick, it's Brady. Listen, they lose their top five pass catchers, right? And Gronkowski will be back. They also lose Danny Woodhead, who had a lot of that out of the backfield. Look for Vereen and Ridley to really dominate. The Patriots have a great offensive line. Brady is a master of play calling and, you know, doing what Manning does and checking off, reading the blitzes, everything. I think Ridley will give you about 1,300 yards, Vereen about another 400. And I just feel like the Patriots are going to have a great season at 11-5. Like you said, they might have to go on the road, but they will win the division. The Dolphins, 8-8. Sorry, Hank. No playoffs, but definitely a little bit improved. I guess the question is, will Tannehill, you know, will he be what he needs to be for the team? Will he develop? Lamar Miller, can he step up? Daniel Thomas, the backup running back. Miller from the U, can he step up? The Bills, E.J. Manuel, I think he'll have some moments. I have them one game less than you. I have them 5-11. And I just think the defense is up and down, you know, touch and go. Although they could be improved. I have 5-11, but if Manuel sort of, you know, switches around on us, you know, maybe they wind up 7-9. Who knows? But the Jets, 4-12 is generous. I think the defense and the running game can get them to 4 wins. Maybe Geno can surprise us. I just don't think the good report is Antonio Holmes will probably play a couple of, you know, a little bit in game one, you know, a couple series, maybe, you know, 10 to 15 plays, who knows. But he's coming back healthy off the list, Frank, it looks like, and that's not easy. I just don't think they have enough toys. Kellen Winslow's there. The Jets, 4-12, AFC East, and Pats win that division.
All right, let's keep moving along.
AFC
so,
North.
AFC North, that's the one that Tay
that's
is
my
real sensitive about.
That's my
so
division.
The AFC North, I've got to believe that there's a new sheriff in town. And if you're watching Hard Knocks, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Bengals. Now, they got to learn how to win, and they got to learn how to be, you know, leading from ahead. But I like the Cincinnati Bengals team. I think they're good enough at the quarterback position with Andy Dalton. I think they've got a couple of decent runners in Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis and the rookie, even though he's small. But
Giovanni
Bernard, I think he's nice. And then that wide receiving core of, you know, of course, A.J. Green, but if Mohamed Sanu and Gresham and then the tight end they picked up, Eifert in the first round, that
And don't forget about Dane Sassenbacher, who used to play with the Bears.
Dana Dane.
No, but they lost Hawkins. They lost our boy last year, who was the surprise, Hawkins. So
They did. But you know
injured,
what? I think that on defense and the signing of Geno Atkins to that 5-year contract, and they might have the best, you know, one of the best defensive lines, certainly maybe the best defensive tackles in the game. Plus, I believe that their focus, you know, at its core, obviously Marvin Lewis is a defensive guy, and I think that, you know, that team has a nice balance of offense and defense, and they just got to learn how to win. Win close games, win tight games, win road games. But I think there's a new sheriff in town because not only are the Bengals on the upswing, but I think that the teams behind them, so the Ravens, I have them at 9-7, the Steelers at 8-8, and then the Browns at 6-10, bringing up the division. But I think that the Ravens and the Steelers have flaws. You know, the Ravens lost a lot of players, 7 players. Now, they replaced them with some decent players, but, you know, you still can't lose in the same season Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Burke, you know, the kid, the cornerback.
Ellerby, Terry Williams.
Ellerby. Yeah, I mean, these guys are all integral parts of your identity, not just X's and O's and how you execute, but your identity. Like, who are the Ravens? So you're passing the torch to Ray Rice, a quiet guy. Joe Flacco, another quiet guy. So who are your vocal leaders? Who are your leaders of this football team? So I have an issue. T-Sizzle, yep. T-Sizzle's probably the only one that's really left over. Haloti Ngata, but T-Sizzle. So I have an issue with who's going to take that mantle and run with it. So I do believe that talent-wise, and I give Ozzie Newsome some credit because originally I thought they'd win 6 games, 7 games, but then Ozzie worked his magic over the summer, the Wizard of Oz. And so I think the Ravens finish 9-7. I think your Steelers finish 8-8. I look at a team that's old. I look at a team that isn't what it was on offense. I look at a team that needs, you know, 2 out of the 3 guys, between Lamar Woodley and Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu. I think these are aging veterans, and you need these guys to really step up and give you performances that they maybe could give you 3, 4, 5 years ago. Your running back situation, you know, Le'Veon Bell was supposed to be the heir apparent, but you ended up keeping Isaac Redman, and you ended up dropping Jonathan Wire at the very end.
But we got Felix Jones. Remember that trade for Felix?
And I've suffered through the Felix years in Dallas. And when he's nice and he shows that Olympic speed he had at Arkansas, he's the man. But if you try to expect too much out of Felix Jones, you might be disappointed. So I think that your Steelers are 8-8. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about that. And I think the Browns, you know, unfortunately, they're just in the wrong neighborhood. You know, Brandon Whedon is, I don't believe him to be a legit NFL, you know, starting quarterback. I think he's just okay. And I'm as a Browns fan, you know, I want to feel positive momentum coming out of last year, but I don't think you do much better than 6-10. I still think you have some issues. I mean, I love Trent Richardson, and I love Jordan Cameron on offense. I think the offensive line is pretty decent. Still think you have a problem with position players, at the skill position players, and then on defense, you know, good but not great. So I believe that this team is 6-10 again.
Okay. You know what? For me with the NFC North, it hurts. My ribs are like swollen. It hurts. I got to go with the Bengals. I'm impressed by what I saw at Hard Knocks. I like the versatility of their team. Jay Gruden is a great OC. Marvin Lewis, I think, has proven to be a very solid head coach. And I think this could be a very good year for them, potentially a Super Bowl year if everything falls right. But I have them at 11-5. I agree with you, the Steelers and the Ravens. I think they both have some issues, but I think they both have potential. I think the Ravens on defense will be underrated and faster. I like getting Dumervil. I like Spears. I like if Michael Huff can step up in the secondary, but they will miss Ed Reed and Lewis no matter what. So I've got the Steelers actually at second, 9-7. The Ravens at third and 9-7. The Steelers will just have a little bit of a better division record. I think my Steelers, I guess the offensive line has got to step up. Things could be better for them if the offensive line really plays well. I like the receivers. Heath Miller will be back, like Gronkowski. Maybe they both come back around week three. And I think Big Ben is going to have a great year. I think he'll stay healthy. I think eventually Le'Veon Bell will get going. And I think he'll get going pretty well. Not Jerome Bettis well, but well. And I think that, you know, the Steelers will be one of the wild cards. The Ravens will just miss it. They'll be solid. And then the Browns. I like the Browns' moves, but I actually have them at 4-12 just because scheduling-wise, they play that NFC Central, the NFC North, they're going to lose probably all those games to the Vikings, Bears, Packers, and Lions. And in their division, it's tough. So I only see 4 wins for the Browns. I don't see the 6 that you got them for. But I think if they can get some real receivers and continue to improve, they're going to be on the upswing. It's just another year or two away. So that's
okay.
My AFC North.
All right, well, let's go to the AFC South. We'll pick up the pace a little bit so we get through all of these divisions. I really think it's a tale of two cities. The Texans and the Colts are solid, solid teams, and the Titans and the Jaguars really are not. So I got the Texans at 11-5. I got the Colts at 9-7. I got the Titans at 6-10 and the Jaguars at 5-11. So starting at the top, the Texans, some people are saying it's the end of their window. I don't think so. I think as long as Arian Foster stays healthy and Ben Tate is a monster, the two of them can carry that team through the regular season. Then postseason is another issue. But I do think that if they can solve that receiver issue on the other side of Andre Johnson, I think Matt Schaub is good enough to get them to the playoffs. I don't know if he's good enough to win them a Super Bowl, but he'll have his chance. I think their problem was always on defense, and their problem was Wade Phillips' defense was giving up too many big plays. I don't know that they've addressed that, though. I think that they've made, I'm still questioning whether this team has the defense to go all the way and to get them out of that AFC, you know, into the Super Bowl and be the AFC rep in the Super Bowl. But I liked that team last year a lot, but I don't know that they've made enough strides. Ed Reed, you know, that championship pedigree helps, but this is the 34-year-old Ed Reed with the hip surgery and the so I'm not sure how much you get out of Ed Reed on the field, but you certainly get a lot in terms of the locker room and the tenacity and the Super Bowl title he just won. So I like that. The Colts were 10-6 last year, so this is actually a step back for them. But I still think they're a very, very solid 9-7 team. Andrew Luck has a great sophomore year. I think that the T.Y. Hilton is going to be an underrated star on that team across from Reggie Wayne. And I think the two tight ends, if they can both get healthy, Colby Fleener and Allen, give them some punch on offense. Again, with them, it's about the defense, staying in the games. The good thing is that AFC South doesn't really have a lot of offensive punch other than the Texans. And I just think the Titans and the Jaguars, anytime your two quarterbacks are Blaine Gabbert and
Jake Locker.
And Jake Locker.
Yeah,
you really don't have
rough.
Much going on. Jake Locker couldn't complete passes at a high percentage at Washington. Blaine Gabbert was a system guy at Missouri. Neither of them, to me, are legit NFL starters, and so I think it's just a matter of time before they both find themselves as backups. The Titans and Jaguars both have traditional running backs, and Chris Johnson and Maurice Jones-Drew, but other than that, you know, I think they have a couple of players at the skill position, so Cecil Shorts and you got a Nate Washington running around there, but really, those two teams, when you start, the quarterback is so important in this league, and I just think those two quarterbacks bring those two teams down.
All right. Well, the way I see the AFC South, I think the Texans are probably one of the one or two best teams in the AFC. They're going to be 12-4. And DeAndre Hopkins is going to make the difference, I think, at wide receiver. I like Foster and Tate. I think Schaub is more than good enough to win the Super Bowl. I think this is their year. And I think Cushing being back, and I think Ed Reed getting healthy in the middle of the season, but being that ball hawk, is going to put this team over the edge, and he'll teach Jonathan Joseph and the other corners what they need to know and learn. And I think that is what, and that jewelry, that Super Bowl ring, that is what's going to put the Texans over the edge. The Colts, my other wild card at 10-6, I think Luck with his guy, Pep Hamilton, the offensive coordinator, and brought him, you know, came from Stanford. I think the Colts are going to get better. Ahmad Bradshaw will be there. T.Y. Hilton, Darius Hayward Bay, Yo Terps. I think the Colts defense will be a little bit better. And I think, Chuck Strong will continue a little bit, and Andrew Luck will be a beast. The Titans, Chris Johnson will be back, but they don't have enough. Kenny Britt's got to stay healthy. Kendall Wright, Nate Washington. I got the Titans at 4-12. I just don't like their defense enough. I really don't. But the offensive line should be a little bit better. The Jaguars, this is going to be rough. I think it's going to be rough. I don't know if Blaine Gabbert will last through the season. When their receiver comes back, so they'll have Shorts and Justin Blackman, I like what they can do, but can he get him the ball? And that's going to be the question. They'll be playing from behind, so they'll get garbage stats, but I don't think they'll get many wins. They'll be 3-13. So that will be, the two wild cards will be the Steelers and the Colts for me, and that's my AFC South.
Yeah, okay. Out to the West. So
yes, sir.
If you want to head out to the West, I think that we can do it. But the problem is there's only one good team. For me, there's only one good team in that division. That's the Broncos. I had them going 12-4. I think the loss of Von Miller hurt. But I think their first two games are tough. The next four are manageable. I think if they go 4-2, they'll be fine in his six-game suspension. I still like what they've got on defense. And I've obviously, when Peyton Manning now can throw to three wide receivers in the slot, and then they just had a feature today on SportsCenter about their tight end, Antonio Gates type, former basketball player who now is looking like he can – have some athleticism, so you give Peyton another tool, and then you
Julius Thomas,
Julius Thomas, but then you've also got Ronnie Hillman and Monty Ball, and you've got a running back by committee, a big back, a small back. Peyton Manning has all the tools, and you add to that Wes Welker, who's caught 6,000 passes in the last 2 years. So in the last 5 years, I guess.
So you're saying Manning's going to put all his assets in order?
Yes. Yes, he will. Brand Nubian. Yes, he's great. So I think Peyton Manning will statistically have another great year. I think that these guys will overcome Von Miller not being there for six games, and they'll be 12-4. And then at the rest, you can fill in. I mean, I like the Chiefs to be second in that division, but only to be 7-9. I think that Andy Reid will have a nice little positive influence on that team, but they're a year away. I think that Alex Smith will learn the system. Jamal Charles, will continue to be Jamal Charles, which, again, I don't understand how this guy's running at 5.5 yards a carry. Dwayne Bowe, they've got Eric Berry coming back off the injury on defense. They've got some other, studs on defense. I think they're solid, and I think next year would be the year. They'd be my surprise team for 2014. But I got them at 7-9. 6-10 for the Chargers. you know, oh, that team, you know, you hate to see Phillip Rivers, who was a, you know, arguably a top five quarterback, fall down so much, but his turnovers are just killing them. And the fact that they lost their number one receiver in Vincent Jackson, they really have never recovered from that. And even their running game, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson was their man, and then they decided not to keep Michael Turner and ended up, you know, putting their eggs in Ryan Matthews' basket. The jury's still out on him. I think that team is just a 6-10 team, unfortunately, for our listeners out there in San Diego. And then finally, the Raiders. You know what? Your mama said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. I don't know what I can say about the Raiders.
Hey, Terrell Pryor, congrats to him for getting the starting job, though.
Yeah, shout out to Terrell. And you know what? This kid's had a bumpy road, right? He was an all-star, you know, all-world player coming out of Pennsylvania, ended up going to Ohio State, had the whole, you know, tattoo thing, so got sidetracked a little bit. But let's see if he can do anything. But, I don't know. There's not much positive in Raider Nation. And I love those Raider fans, and I've sat in a black hole. And tough season for the Raiders. I mean, I can't see them being any more than 3-13, maybe 4-12, but – yeah, there's not much to look forward to in Oakland.
Well, you know, we pretty much agree in the whole AFC West. I too have the Broncos and the Sheriff at 12-4. I love the running backs. I love the receivers. He could throw wherever he wants. Julius Thomas will, you know, by default probably be the fourth option, but be a great fourth option. I think he'll finally develop a tight end. Welker will probably wind up being the star. Decker will be the odd man out, and Demaryius Thomas will still be the big play guy. I think Hillman and Ball, and don't sleep on No'Shawn Moreno, who stepped up in the playoffs, still
New
a veteran.
Jersey's
and
finest.
That's right, and he knows how to pass block, and you know that's all Peyton Manning cares about for his running back. So we'll see there. The Chiefs, Andy Reid, I think they're on the upswing. I like Andy as a coach. As long as he realizes that Jamal Charles is his man, they can get the ball to Dwayne Bowe. Alex Smith coming over will be efficient. I still think, even though they traded Baldwin and got A.J. Jenkins, they need some more receivers. They lost Moriaki at tight end, so I don't know who their new tight end is going to be to step up. But I got the Chiefs at 7-9. I do like their defense. They will be better. Maybe they switch it up and surprise us to be 9-7, but I got them at 7-9. The Chargers, I got them one less than you. I do like McCoy coming over there, and Wisenhunt, you know, the head coach of the Cardinals and the Steelers' old OC. He's the OC over there, so I think the Chargers will sort of be on the right swing. I think they're heading in the right direction. They just don't have the toys. They need more weapons, just like the Jets and the Raiders and Jaguars. They need more weapons. So I have Philip Rivers, who killed me last year in fantasy, and I'm not drafting him this year at all. At Chargers 5-11, and I do not trust Ryan Matthews at all. The Raiders. Hey, I have not had the pleasure of being at the black hole. Maybe I will this season or next season. We'll have to do a guys weekend and get with Stacy out there in Oakland. But, you know, I think Terrell Pryor will be talented. I think he'll be great in fantasy, like Tebow-esque, get stats, pass for 230 and run for, you know, 100 or whatever, or 80. But Demaryius Moore is what he's got. Streeter is what he's got. They lost Brandon Myers at tight end. They have Marcel Reeves. And I don't know about Darren McFadden. Nobody knows. Will he stay healthy? He's like Matthews, but he can run, even though last year he struggled. So I have the Raiders at 3-13, and they just, you know, they got behind the eight ball with drafting poorly for so many years with Al Davis, and I think that McKenzie is trying to fix that team and that roster. So, again, the Broncos win the division, and, you know, hey, that's the AFC West, and let's head over to the NFC before we get into our championships and stuff
All right.
like that for each conference. NFC East.
NFC East, baby. So I think this is going to be the tightest division of all. And
yeah.
In this division, I don't see anybody running away with it. And I could see the team I predicted going fourth, finishing first, and vice versa. But I think that all four teams will finish between 9-7 and 7-9. That's how tight I think it is. So if I had to put a stake in the ground, I say that the Cowboys and the Giants both tie for the division lead at 9-7. I got the Redskins at 8-8, and I got the Eagles at 7-9. So not a lot of conviction there in terms of one team running away with the division or one team being horrible, but each of these teams has a flaw or two, and it's a matter of who can exploit those flaws and who can cover them up, especially as certain teams are dealing with injuries and teams recovering. So let's start with the Giants. The Giants now, they lose Andre Brown, so now they got all of their running eggs in David Wilson's basket, at least in the short term. You got Akeem Nicks banged up on offense. Jason Pierre-Paul banged up on defense. Justin Tuck needs a comeback year. They've got some issues at linebacker. They lost their safety. So the Giants have a bunch
and
of
Deal.
Issues.
They lost Deal, too.
And Deal, their lineman, yeah. So the Giants have a bunch of issues they're dealing with. I think that Eli is a steadying influence. That's the good part of an Eli Manning, is that he's not too up and he's not too down, right? So even when the chips are down, that aw shucks, Eli Manning, right? Aw shucks, I'll still, get it out to my receivers, get it out to Cruz and Nicks and matriculate the ball down the field. So even though the Giants have a lot of question marks, I think that this is one of their bounce back seasons, and I think they tie at 9-7 with my Dallas Cowboys. So is this the year Tony Romo goes to the playoffs, wins a few playoff games? Is it possible? He signed the big deal. They made a few changes. They just picked up the guard, Waiters, that was in that was with the Patriots 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They still have some issues on the offensive line. Question if DeMarco Murray will have holes to run through. I think Dez Bryant is a manimal. And as long as he's able to shine, he will show the NFL why he's one of the three or four best receivers in the game. And I think that all that attention on him is great for Miles Austin, who's a quality, quality receiver. And Jason Witten he's not explosive anymore, but he'll just get you the ball downfield. He'll just get you first downs. And he's a quarterback.
Jason Witten.
Exactly. He's the quarterback's best friend. I think Sean Lee comes back on defense. Hopefully he's healthy. DeMarcus Ware's always had trouble on defense, but staying healthy, that is, and being there for every game. But he's a trooper. I think the Ratliff and Spears are going to be missed. The Cowboys, to me, they have a chance if Romo plays well and conservatively in the fourth quarter, doesn't make mistakes, doesn't give games away, they have a chance to win the division and go to the playoffs. So I have them finishing with the Giants. And then the final two teams, the Eagles and the Redskins, look, the Redskins, everybody's going to be gunning for RG3, and I think that he snuck up on people a little bit last year. This year, I think nobody's going to take him lightly. Nobody's going to take him for granted. He might not play 16 games. I hope he does. Kirk Cousins might have to play a few of those games if Robert injures his knee again or has another injury. And he's going to have to learn how to be the new Robert Griffin III. And I think that'll create some hesitation in his mind. Alfred Morris was great. I think getting those two defensive ends back, Arakpo and Carricker, I think that's going to be fantastic for them. I think that the Redskins, they're 8-8. They could be 9-7. They could win the division. I mean, they could theoretically be 10-6. But I just think that there'll be a couple of tight games that they'll lose, and ultimately they're a 500 team. The Eagles, who knows? Who knows what Michael Vick in the new Chip Kelly system is going to have for us? I think that it's his job as long as he stays healthy. I do think, though, that playing, 20% more plays makes him susceptible to getting hurt. I think if Michael Vick gets hurt, I think that offense goes south with the replacement there. Nick Foles, yeah. I think that ultimately that offense runs well with Vic. I don't know if Nick Foles can actually run that up-tempo offense for 70 plays. So it's all about Vic, and it's all about Vic staying healthy, and I don't think he can. I think he'll eventually get hurt, and I think that the Eagles have a decent squad, but I don't know that you go from 4-12 and everything falls apart to getting a college coach as a first-time coach and then making the playoffs. So to me, I think the Eagles finished fourth in that division.
Well, I got to hit you hard with the NFC East, and I love the Giants, but I got to go Redskins. And I actually think they'll be better this year with the defense, the wide receivers. Fred Davis will be back healthy. Griffin can develop a relationship with him. I think Shanahan will be smart. Griffin will be smarter, be more careful. They won't run as much, you know, in terms of naked boots or just him running the read option as much. I think they'll be 10-6. I actually have the Cowboys and Giants both at 9-7, so you could flip-flop it. I kind of have the Cowboys at second. I think the Cowboys, I think they're just going to miss the playoffs, same with the Giants, because I just feel Romo will throw the pick, and I don't know about Murray. I do like the center, Fredericks. I think they picked him too early, but it doesn't matter now. He's on the team, and I think they're going to miss the safety that they should have gotten. I mean, we'll see how their safety does and their secondary. But I think Monty Kippen's defense will definitely help them. I just think they don't have the talent to take it to the place they need to. So we'll see what Murray can do if he can stay healthy. And like you said, Dez Bryant is Dez Bryant. Miles Austin is one of the top number two receivers in the game, probably underrated. And Witten is a beast. So Cowboys are there. You know, hey, I got a list of Cowboy fans. Ray's a Cowboy fan. This year I'm sort of rooting for our boy Kwame to pass. Hashtag Cowboys for Kwame. So I'm definitely got to, root for the Cowboys a bit. But sorry, Kwame, they're not going to make the playoffs. And the Giants hit 3-9-7. I think these injuries are going to catch up to them. Will Cruz stay healthy? Will Nick stay healthy? Deal. Brown comes back second week. They probably should pick up Jonathan Dwyer to help David Wilson. I don't know if Manning trusts Wilson for blocking. I think Wilson's going to be electric. He'll get about 1,300 yards running. And the Giants, they'll be 9-7. I just, listen, they could very easily be 10-6, but I just think they play inconsistent, and I don't know if they're hungry. I think a lot of guys got jewelry on that team, and I don't know how hungry they really are.
Some of them
the Eagles,
have two
Chip
rings.
Kelly. Well, no, yeah, you're right. A lot of them have two rings, but I just, I question the hunger. But Eli's a man, Gomer Pyle, all shucks, like you said. He's the man. And Brandon Myers, the tight end from the Raiders, coming over. He'll have about 60, 70 receptions. He's going to be great. And don't sleep on Reuben Randle, who can step up if Nick's or Cruz gets hurt. Reuben Randle is a solid number three receiver, one of the best in the NFL, I believe, upcoming this season. The Eagles, they're going to miss Jeremy Maclin, everybody, just so you're aware. He's solid. Zach Ertz and Selleck at tight end are good. Vic's got to stay healthy. I think Ray's right. You just don't know if he can. I think I have them at 5-11, but they could easily be 8-8. I mean, I just don't like the defense. I mean, yes, they got some names, Connor Barwin from the Texans, some of their other guys. We'll see what Trent Cole can do. The offensive line is healthy again, but I just think they're still kind of rebuilding. I don't think they have all the right pieces, and we'll see how their secondary works out. It's a whole, rebuilt secondary. They already cut Kenny Phillips from the Giants, the safety, so I wonder if he'll go back to the Giants. But we'll see. But I got them at 5-11, and, the Redskins win that division. So okay. Now the NFC North.
NFC South. NFC North.
The Norris division.
Yes. So this division is very tight. I think that the Packers are a little bit better than the other two teams. So I got the Packers at 11-5. I think Eddie Lacy helps solidify their offense and helps give them a little bit of balance. I think that the pressure was on Aaron Rodgers a little too much to make plays, but I think that JerMichael Finley had a great preseason. I think the loss of Greg Jennings is tough. I don't think Randall Cobb is a replacement for him, but I think the combination of Cobb stepping up, Jordy Nelson, if he can stay healthy, and Eddie Lacy, I think, help take some of the pressure off of Aaron Rodgers. They're probably on defense, though. And JerMichael Finley, yeah, he'll have a bounce back season like he was projected to have the last couple of years. I think the question's on defense. I think can Clay Matthews, can Dom Capers in that defense, can they put it together? Because Charles Woodson they lost, and they were Swiss cheese last year on D, and that team that was projected to be in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers did as much as he could. It was really the D that let him down. And the questions all come back to that D. And can they, you know, can they piece it together? So I think that they're good enough to make the playoffs. I don't know that they're good enough to go to the Super Bowl. So I got them at 11-5. Right behind them, I have the Vikings and the Bears, both tied at 9-7. And these are similar teams in the sense that they've got some issues. They've got some age on defense. The Vikings, to me, I'm not a Christian Ponder fan, so they're winning in spite of him. I like, you know, how could you not love Adrian Peterson? The guy can stay healthy. He's just the man. I had him twice in a couple leagues. I was fortunate enough to pick number one in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Adrian Peterson. I think that, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson at wide receiver, and I think that their tight end, they're going to have a few guys from a fantasy perspective, Kyle Rudolph, stepping up. But I think that ultimately they're going to go as far as Christian Ponder can take them, and he may be able to take them to the playoffs like he did last year. But I just think that that team has a ceiling because their quarterback – their quarterback situation. And the Bears have, you know, they finally parted ways with Urlacher. That was a little bit of a, you know, contentious breakup. I think that it's going to be a very interesting season in Chicago. Jay Cutler's going to have to prove that he's worth the money. They paid up a lot to Denver to get him a few years ago, and now his contract's up. So he's going to have the pressure on him. He is not your typical leader, NFL quarterback style. He's got all the physical tools, but it's questionable if he can lead the way you want your quarterback to lead. So we'll see. Brandon Marshall, that hip is going to annoy him all year, I think. That's one of those injuries that just doesn't go away. So a little bit of an issue there. So I think that's going to keep them down a little bit. I still think they're good enough for a 9-7 season. And then finally, the Lions. I got them at 7-9. I want to see them go back to that 10-6 season they had a couple years ago. I just think the division is too tough. I think their defensive line and their front seven are great. I love what they've done. They still have some issues in the secondary. They still are trying to find out if somebody can play that number two receiver across from Megatron. We'll see if Broyles can do it. He's had the second blown ACL in his career. They really have to find out if Michael LeSure and Reggie Bush can run the ball effectively. Their tight end drops too many balls. So they've got some issues, and I think that Matt Stafford's a stud, and you know, their defense is a stud. Megatron, of course, is a mega, mega stud. But I just think that neighborhood that they play in is too tough, so I got them at 7-9.
Wow, I kind of agree with you. I mean, going up to the top, I got to go over with the Packers. I got them at 11-5. My question is definitely the defense, and they will miss Charles Woodson, just like the Ravens will miss Ed Reed. That veteran in the backfield means a lot, but I think that Eddie Lacy and Franklin from UCLA will help them. Rodgers is just incredible. You know, the offensive line's already a little banged up, but I think that he'll pull through. And I think James Jones, Cobb, and Nelson, JerMichael Finley, they'll all do enough to get them to win this division. I think they're going to have a little bit more speed on their defense with the young linebackers stepping up, and they'll hold it off. But I think the Bears will squeak in that last week and make that wild card. And the second wild card, and I think the Bears at 10-6, Tressman will be great. I think Jay Cutler will sort of step up and have the season that he needs to have. Forte will be incredible in this offense. Martellus Bennett, coming over from the Giants and Cowboys, will be a great tight end for them. Very athletic. He'll catch a lot of balls. Alshon Jeffrey, the rookie from last year, he is going to be a monster. I think Marshall, the hip, you're right, might be a problem, but he'll still get 90 for 95 balls. He might get not over the 100 receptions, but he'll still get a lot of receptions. And I think the team's got some versatility. I think getting rid of Urlacher was necessary. I think they're going to be a little bit faster. And the Bears get turnovers. Peanut Tillman, Jennings, they know how to get the ball. And that is what I like about a defense that, like, they have a scoring defense. The Vikings drop down, I think, a bit. AP, he still might get 2,000, though, but I think they're going to be 8-8. I do like Greg Jennings and Rudolph, like you said. I think they'll get some stats, but unfortunately, it'll be from behind. Their defense is getting a little bit long in the tooth, like you said. Williams, Jared Allen. I do like some of the linebackers, though, and I think they can get to the quarterback, so they'll stay around in games. That's why I got them at 8-8. the Lions, I wish I could be as generous as you and give them 7 wins. I love Bush, LeSure, Mikel LeSure, if he's healthy. I love Megatron and Broles, Stafford. I don't love the offensive line so much, and their secondary. The defensive line is awesome. The linebackers in the secondary are They're trying to rebuild the secondary. Brought over your boy from the Texans. We'll see how that works out. I just got them at 5-11. Megatron is the man. I think Reggie Bush should do really well. I just don't know. I'm just not sure, and I'm not sure if the coach makes it through. I think this might be his last season there for Schwartz in Detroit. I think 5-11 might get him the axe. So I got the Lions, 4th place, 5-11, and the Bears will be a wild card in my NFC, and the Packers win the NFC North.
Okay, well, let's move it along. We're getting we got about 10 minutes left, so let's see if we can't get through
NFC
this. So
South.
NFC South, it's like the AFC South and like the NFC West, which we'll get to in a sec. It's a tale of two cities, right? I think that the Falcons and the Saints are the cream of that division. I think the Bucs and the Panthers together win 11 games. So I think that the Falcons, and there's not much to say about the Falcons. They add Steven Jackson, which makes them better. They lose Abraham, so they've got some issues. How are they going to get to the passer? How are they going to make the critical plays? But I think all of their questions cannot be answered in the regular season. I think it's strictly getting to the playoffs, trying to get home field advantage throughout. They're a great team. The question is, how far can they go? So I think they win that division at 12-4. I like the Saints. Peyton coming back, charging up the Saints. Again, covering up a mediocre defense with a phenomenal offense, ball control, and they got those runners. They got, they got the receivers and they got Breeze, but I still think that Mark Ingram, Pierre Thomas, and our boy Darren Sproles. I think they keep moving the clock, moving the ball down the field, and obviously, you've got that mega stud Jimmy Graham as your tight end, and he's healthy this year, and Marcus Colson. I think they're fine. I think they bounce back. I think they make the playoffs. They're 11-5. The Bucs at 6-10. Josh Freeman, it's a big year for him too. Is he the real deal or not? He's got Vincent Jackson, and he's got Dougie Fresh Martin back there. He's got some tools. Tight end is a question. Every young quarterback loves a tight end. Never really worked out with Dallas Clark, but we'll see what they can do on offense. They got Darrell Revis now helping them out, the young kids out on defense. So I still think that they're in a tough division playing the Saints and the Falcons four times. So I like them at 6-10. And then the Panthers, Cam Newton and Steve Smith, they have that rotating running back situation. Jonathan Stewart going down means that D'Angelo Williams is going to get most of the run. Mike Tolbert a little bit as well. Those Panthers, man, they need something. They need a spark. And I don't know if Cam Newton in his third year gives it to them. So I got them at 5-11.
Oof. Okay. Well, for me, the AFC South, I got the Falcons in 12-4. The problem with them is, look, their offense is ridiculous, Steven Jackson. They can't rush the passer, and their secondary could be, questionable. So that's going to be something to look for. They're going to miss Abraham, and OC is there, but I don't know what he can give you. The Saints bounce back big, like you said. They got Rob Ryan at defense, but I just don't think they have the talent. Vilma's going to be out for a while. Drew Brees and all his toys, and they just re-signed Robert Meacham, who the Chargers had cut. So the Saints will have some weapons. Lance Moore and Colston are great, and all the running backs you mentioned, and Graham. They'll be 10-6, and Drew Brees and Sean Payton will be on the hunt this season and be very, very good, and probably just miss the playoffs. We'll see if they can maybe sneak it out, but I sort of got them at 10-6, but just missing the playoffs. The Panthers, I actually have them in third at 7-9. They just did not get a real number two. Brandon LaFell is okay. They got Olsen, but Steve Smith needs help. They should have probably signed Brandon Lloyd or brought in T.O. You know how I feel about those receivers. But they're going to miss Stewart. D'Angelo Williams, we'll see what he can do by himself. Tolbert's a little banged up too. And their defense should be a little improved, but I just think Cam needs help, and I think this could be Rivera's last shot. So 7-9 might not keep him around. The Bucks, I have at 6-10 in last place, but they could easily be 8-8 or 9-7. I like Martin, Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams. They need to figure out who their tight end is going to be to really help them. But that secondary, you know, getting Golston over there from the Niners, Barron, and if our boy Darrelle Revis can step up and their defensive line, the Bucs could be one of the sneaky teams this year and could be a surprise team if Josh Freeman could have a big season. Freeman and Cutler are the guys that could be very surprising this year. So that's my South. Let's go to the NFC West.
All right, the NFC West. I got the Niners at 12-4. They have a major glaring weakness at wide receiver. But other than that, they're about as good a team as there is in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick's the real deal. The defense, you know, is the real deal. They had, what, 7 Pro Bowlers on defense. They did lose the safety, but they were able to replace him. So they've got all the skills that you need, a little bit lacking in explosive plays from traditionally where you got the explosive plays from, the wide receivers. They might have to get it from Vernon Davis, you know, as a sort of quasi tight end wide receiver, and Colin Kaepernick. So aside from explosive plays and aside from, you know, losing Michael Crabtree and then the big question mark of Mario Manningham, I still think the Niners are the class of that division at 12-4. I think the Seahawks are right behind them at 11-5. I think that the league is going to have tape on Russell Wilson, and they'll be able to curtail him a little bit. But I do believe that if they're able to hang in there and then get Percy Harvin back around Thanksgiving, that Golden Tate, Percy Harvin, Sidney Rice, of course, Marshawn Lynch, if he can stay healthy, those two monsters at cornerback that they have, the two big Browner and Sherman at corner, and then the rest of that defense, the 12th man in Seattle, I like them, and I like them, you know, to go to the playoffs and you know, maybe even make a run. So those two are great. The other two, I don't see much. The Rams, I think it's another guy on a kind of a show-me situation, Sam Bradford. You could argue that Givens and Tavon Austin are not your best receivers in the world, but that's what he's got, you know. We'll see if he can do that. Jared Cook helps him at tight end. So you know, tools are getting a little bit better for them. They still have a question mark at running back. You don't just lose Steven Jackson and bounce back unless you replace him with somebody of that caliber. And then, you know, finally, in that division, you've got. So what do we got? We got the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams.
Rams and Cardinals.
Yeah, and then the Cardinals. Those are your boys, the Cardinals, right? So it's funny because the Cardinals can go either way. A lot of people have these Cardinals actually doing big things. Some people have them as their sleeper pick. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I still think that they have some issues. I'm not sold on Carson Palmer. I think he'll have a big year statistically, but I'm not sure that in crunch time the running game is quality. I don't know if Rashard Mendenhall is ready to bounce back and really, you know, he's playing on a one-year contract, essentially trying to show the rest of the league that he can still play. Larry Fitzgerald, still Larry Fitzgerald, and I think that, you know, gosh, if they can get something out of your boy from LSU, the Honey Badger,
Tyrann Mathieu,
and then put him alongside Patterson, and then if our boy who was suspended, the linebacker, if he comes back healthy and if he's ready to roll,
Darrell Washington,
if this team might be able to put it together, but right now I'm putting them on show me alert. So I still think that they're hanging out there with the Rams at the bottom of that division.
All right. Well, for me, the NFC West, boom, Niners, 12-4, win the division. It's just going to be great. Bolden will be there. Davis will be all over the place. Jonathan Baldwin will step up who they traded for. Then you got the Seahawks, 11-5. They're going to make the playoffs. Like you said, the three receivers, Sidney Rice is healthy. We'll see when Harvin comes back. Russell Wilson won't miss a beat. It'll probably be better. Their defense is going to be great. They got some nice signings. The Rams, I have them at 6-10. Going to be improved, but it's just they just don't have enough offensively. We'll see if Givens and Tavon Austin, you know, who I think is going to be a great rookie, can do enough. I don't know about Richardson and Pete in a running game. I like their defense, and the Cardinals, 6-10, could be better. The Rams and Cardinals could be better, but the Cardinals, 6-10, Mendenhall, Palmer, So Cheryl's a beast. I like Floyd and Roberts. We'll see. But losing Jonathan Cooper from Alabama to guard, and we'll see what Minter and Tyrann Mathieu do. And Peterson is a beast. But I have them at 6-10. So let's go to the AFC Championship game. Who do you have in the AFC Championship game?
Wow. So I've got the Broncos and the Bengals. And I have the Broncos winning and representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I got the Texans over the Broncos. I just think there will be something missing from the Broncos defense, even with your boy coming back. And I think the Texans will just do it enough this year. Ed Reed will lead that. Then the NFC?
I've got the Falcons and the Niners. And I got the Niners beating the Falcons for a Super Bowl rematch with the Denver Broncos.
Okay, well, I got the Niners beating the Falcons as well. Falcons don't have enough, and the Niners will be in the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl, we both got the Niners. I got the Niners over the Texans. And what do you got?
I got the Niners over the Broncos.
So they basically come back and do what they could not do last year. We both feel that Kaepernick and maybe Crabtree could come back, but just that they have enough, even with that defense without it, that the Niners will be the Super Bowl champs. I think it's legit picks. It could go any way, right? But that's what Ray and Tay feel. So let's go like this. Who's your MVP?
My MVP, Peyton Manning. I think he just puts up astronomical numbers, and they go 12-4 and go to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, my MVP, I'm actually going to go with Matty Ice. I think he'll take the money and he will be a stud. Steven Jackson will help him do that. And they don't get to the Super Bowl, but they get where they were last year. But Matt Ryan has an amazing season.
Okay. So, Coach of the Year, I have Sean Payton. I think he comes back. He leads his team to 11-5, and he puts order back in New Orleans, even without a defense. Or without a top-notch defense, he comes back and that team goes 11-5. So he wins Coach of the Year.
Yeah. Well, for me, Coach of the Year, I got Mark Trestman. I think he's going to come in and light a fire under the Bears. Jay Cutler, revive him, and they will make the playoffs, and Trestman will be my Coach of the Year.
Okay. So Rookie of the Year, I got Eddie Lacy. I think he shows people that he should have been a first-round pick. I think the Packers are all too happy to give him the ball more, take some pressure off of Aaron Rodgers, and he just has a big year.
Well, I got to go with Tavon Austin. West Virginia, that explosive offense. Yeah, he's a little guy, but he's going to be an explosive little guy, and I think he will give the Rams something to buy tickets for and people to come and see and watch. Tavon Austin is the Rookie of the Year.
Okay, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. That's Maurice Jones-Drew. He's my comeback player of the year. He led the league in rushing at 1,600 yards 3 years ago. I think he's the real deal. I think he bounces back and reestablishes his form as an elite running back. I think his team around him is not very good, but he's the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same thing. I just wanted to be different from you because I didn't want to go with I think he's sort of more like the obvious shot and choice. You got to love Mo. But I'm going to go with Jay Cutler. I think Trestman gets him going. He had a rough year last year, and I think this year he puts it all together. He gets his big contract like Flacco and Ryan, and Jay Cutler, you know, doesn't go to Super Bowl, but he makes the playoffs, and he plays really well. And I think Cutler will do that with this offense.
So my defensive player of the year is a gentleman by the name of Geno. Geno Atkins signed his big contract, 5 years, $55 million, out of Georgia. You know, I believe that he's going to anchor that Cincinnati Bengals team that's going to win the NFC North. He's going to have a huge year. He's going to remind people of Warren Sapp. I like Geno Atkins.
Well, for me, I got to go to the Texans, and he'll sort of lead into the Super Bowl with Cushing and Ed Reed there and Jonathan Joseph and the different talent. J.J. Watt will once again be Defensive Player of the Year and just continue to block passes. It's just do all those things and create complete havoc. So he is my Defensive Player of the Year. And this is the NFL Preview Show from Ray and Tay today.
One more preview to do, though. We got the Broncos, real quick. We've got the Broncos and the Ravens tomorrow night.
Well, for me, it's simple. I think the Broncos, Mile High, all that stuff, they're home, Peyton Manning. I know the Ravens, because of the Orioles, at a big disadvantage being on the road. I think the Broncos are just too much. I think the Broncos wind up winning this game something like 27-20. And I think Peyton Manning just shows us all his toys, and I think the Ravens fall a little bit short, defending champs on opening night.
I think the Broncos blow them out. I think the Broncos put up 34, and I think they win something like 34-23.
Ooh,
so I like the Broncos big in this game. I like Peyton Manning to flex his muscles week one.
Okay. Monty Ball, will he get a touchdown? You think Monty will get in there?
I think Monty will get in there. I think that Peyton will spread it around to Decker and Thomas and Wes Welker. I think that that Broncos offense is going to put up a lot of points this year. So all you fantasy guys, play all your Broncos.
Definitely. Well, listen, it's going to be great. We'll be back Friday to preview Sunday's NFL games. We'll talk about Thursday night. The opener is finally here. I can't contain myself, baby. It's going to be awesome. And, hey, just get ready for an amazing football season. Ray and Tay today, college football, the end of baseball. We're going to bring it to you. We're going to give it to you. Check out our website, rayandtaytoday.com, for all the stats and info, tidbits. And, are you ready for some football? I guess that's what it's all about, man. Let's do it.
I'm ready. And cool. I hope you all are ready. And stay with us throughout the whole football season. We'll make it fun. We'll make it informative. We'll make it interesting. And let's make it interactive. So get with us on all the social media, Ray and Tay Today, on Google,
yeah,
on Twitter, on Facebook, on
our
website.
Yeah, and email us those Super Bowl picks. And email us your Super Bowl picks at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Hey, I got to say, William Truth Taylor, my four-year-old, he predicted the Cardinals and Broncos. And my wife, Alana, she went with the Seahawks and Broncos. So
okay.
I had to throw out their Super Bowl predictions. William said, Daddy, you got to say it on the show.
He said it.
There you go. Hey, listen, happy holiday for everybody out there. You know, the new year, Rosh Hashanah. And thanks for talking sports with friends, man.
We're out.
Peace.